Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A discussion about immigration and immigrants. It's an issue in which feelings run high, but there's a new dimension now following a report from the Partnership for a New American Economy. It outlines the economic role immigrants play in our region. Now, it may surprise some who are critical of growing immigrant populations and would seem to indicate that newcomers give a lot more than they get. Here to talk about the report and its meaning are Anna Crosland, President and CEO of the International Institute. It helps refugees and immigrants assimilate. Betsy Cohen is the Executive Director of the St. Louis Mosaic Project. It wants more immigrants in the community to help boost the economy. Al Alderi is a Syrian refugee, entrepreneur, and is co-founder of Sham Bakery. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to see you all again.
Thank you.
Anna, let me begin with you. Give me a thumbnail, if you will. I know there are about 225,000 immigrants in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. How many of them are in our area?
Well, about half of them are actually in the St. Louis metro area, and so a significant portion of them are here. What's really interesting about the immigrant numbers in terms of who are immigrants in the St. Louis region versus perhaps other metros around the country are that we have a slightly higher percentage of refugees compared to the total. And among the immigrant population themselves, we have a large number of individuals who started out in the community through universities. They came here as foreign students, for instance, and then joined corporations, et cetera. And recently, we have a growing number of entrepreneurs who have come here specifically to be able to start businesses through arts grants and other kinds of initiatives.
Why would we have more refugees than other places?
Well, you know, one of the things that we say about immigrants in general are that they choose the place they're going to go. And so a lot of times it's because they have relatives already in a community or they have a job offer, et cetera. When you have a small base of immigrants like we have here in St. Louis, about 4.5%, there aren't all that many people then who are already related to people overseas that can be drawn here. Refugees, on the other side, are chosen by the community through its resettlement agencies like the International Institute. And so they go where they get a resettlement offer as opposed to choosing a place the way the larger immigrant community does.
And what would be so attractive about St. Louis for them?
Well, what's attractive about St. Louis for refugees is that, you know, it's a good place to be able to start over. From the point of view there are only 4.5% foreign-born, and so it is not a metro area that's inundated by foreign-born, first of all. And so the competition for certain kinds of jobs is relatively low. But mainly it also has to do with cost of living. So they can, on their very meager salaries, because many of them start out in the $9, $10 an hour range in terms of jobs, they can actually, if two people are working in a family, afford housing, for instance, in St. Louis, where they might not be able to in a major metro area. And for some families that come over here because of war and trauma, et cetera, the importance of being easily accessible to major medical institutions is really important. So all of that, it makes it a good place for refugee resettlement.
And Betsy Cohen, the fact that entrepreneurship is such a big part of this whole project here, if you will, this whole population, that's music to your ears, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is, because the Missouri state data reflects what we know in St. Louis, that foreign-born people are 60% more likely to start a business than our native-born people. And so we have so many foreign-born entrepreneurs. We know that they're starting high-tech businesses, such as through Arch Grants, BioSTL. We also know that they're starting neighborhood businesses and really drive a lot of retail, neighborhood, startups, which keeps that economic neighborhood vitality.
We'll get into some of the specific numbers in just a little bit, but the Mosaic Project is really designed to generate this kind of entrepreneur, if you will, entrepreneurship, because it's such a driver of the economy.
Yes, because the goals for us as St. Louis to be the fastest growing region of all the major metropolitan areas by 2020 for foreign-born is based on the fact that we're missing foreign-born people, and that foreign-born people do have that ability to be job creators, not job takers, and that when they start businesses, they create opportunity for all of us.
Well, as I say, I think people will be surprised when they hear some of the figures we'll give them a little bit later. But let me turn to Al now. Al, why did you come to St. Louis?
I had my brother here. He navigated us. He came here 2010, basically. And he came to St. Louis because he had a friend from Damascus who lived here.
And probably through the International Institute being a part of that whole process.
That's true.
Right. And how long have you been here?
I came here like 2012 on May. It's been like almost 4 years now.
How long did it take you to go into business, the bakery business?
The bakery, I started it in 2014 after like 1.5 year. But I started the business in St. Louis as soon as I came here. And that's, in my opinion, a very good point where the immigrants, they don't come to relax or for vacation. They come to work. And they want to work. They have to work instantly.
Was it difficult for you to start your business?
It is. It was in the beginning, but a lot of things made it easy for me to start business, such as the International Institute. It's big help, and the city of St. Louis. The employees was very helpful to me, where they show you step by step what to do.
And that's another mm-hmm. part of the attractiveness of this community, I guess.
Yeah.
Anna, for people coming here from other countries.
Yeah, one of the aspects of what we do is welcome people and sponsor refugees when they first arrive. But another and growing portion of what we do has to do with being able to help people who are natural entrepreneurs be able to embrace and become entrepreneurs again in this country. Whether it's, as Al mentioned, being able to start a bakery. And by bakery, we don't mean the little corner bakery where you buy donuts, but this is a major endeavor now that sells wholesale through Schnucks and all of these other places. To, as we say, the little corner grocery store and gas station. So there are a variety of different kinds of businesses that people want to be able to start. And we have an economic development program now that provides the technical assistance and the microloans and stuff just like would be available in other areas of the community for other native-born individuals. One of the important points to make, whether it's Al or other individuals, is when they go and apply for loans, microloans, et cetera, whether it's through the International Institute or through a bank, et cetera, they are paying interest on that money and expected to pay it back the same way a native-born individual would. There's no breaks because they're refugees or immigrants.
You know, Betsy, this is something a lot of people don't understand, I think, is the fact that they assume that people are coming here for kind of a free ride. Now, Al has indicated that he came here because he wanted to go to work and immediately set about doing that. There are a lot of people who misunderstand the motives of a lot of these folks.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we see this with the immigrant entrepreneurs and other professionals that come here that are foreign-born, that often they can't necessarily practice the career or the work they've done in their home country. Therefore, they really need to take care of their family, so they have to be entrepreneurial and start something. And they have to learn new skills. They need to understand through our universities, through the community college, through the International Institute. They need a new pathway forward. And so all of us work together and connect about getting people back on a career pathway so they can contribute for their family and to the community.
But not everyone is an entrepreneur.
No, but some of them need to get back into a medical career, for example. And so it may not be an entrepreneur of starting a business, but it may be they have to be entrepreneurial in thinking about where are their job gaps. For example, this morning, the community college had their workforce presentation about gaps in the community for workforce and, for example, the healthcare industry. So we have a lot of opportunities in the region. And then how do we help when the region has a need? How do we help fill? There are so many jobs going unfilled, for example, in healthcare. How do we help people retool to get themselves to fill the economy that St. Louis needs to grow?
With regard to the poll, and again, mm-hmm. I keep promising the numbers, and we'll get to them in a moment. Why do you feel, and I'll ask mm-hmm. this of you, why do you feel the need for such a poll? Is it to sell the community on the immigrant population or communities? Because it is all over the country, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think that this survey is really important because what it does is dispel some of the myths. We spoke a moment ago about myths that are associated with immigrants. Oh, gee, they come over here, they believe the streets are paved with gold, and all they have to do is wait and people will give them that gold. The reality is the immigrants that are coming over here, number one, are in many cases highly skilled. If we were to look at the refugee population from last year that was sponsored into St. Louis, the adult refugees, 30% of them at least had some university education. So this is not an uneducated population from the beginning, and they bring that education and those skills with them. Then what they need to do is be able to connect with either the world of work, particularly if they're professionals, as Betsy mentioned, or with entrepreneurship. And so what we're doing is help them to create the links so that they can use their own human resources to be able to benefit themselves and the community. It is misunderstood that that's what's really going on, and that, in fact, as they create those jobs, as they create those businesses, et cetera, they're creating wealth and jobs in the community for others. You know, here's one. We keep talking about numbers. Here's one. In the report, Missourians, 14,100 immigrants in Missouri are self-employed. And it says that they actually generate $258 million in business income in 2014 alone. That's a heck of a contribution to the state. People only hear about how immigrants are taking things when the reality is immigrants are giving in a very, very big way.
Well, I see another of the figures that I have in front of me is that they have almost $5 billion in spending power. That money is going out there, and it's providing jobs for other people as well because they're generating business.
Well, in addition to the $5 billion in spending power in the state of Missouri, in addition to that is the $1.8 million in taxes they're paying, which two-thirds are federal and a third are to our state. So, you know, they are drivers of our state finances as well as the economics where they use to buy and support our community, including home ownership. You know, they're propping up a lot of the home ownership prices and values as our aging population is selling homes. We have a younger demographic of immigrants coming in who are actually buying homes.
It also belies the notion that they are taking jobs from Americans, which is one of the big complaints. And what we're hearing on the national and, in many cases, the local levels in the political world today, that the immigrants and refugees are taking American jobs.
Yeah. Well, and taxes, it's a big, you know, it's like people keep saying Social Security, Medicare, it's mine, you know, why are they using it? Here's another number then. In 2014, in Missouri alone, immigrants also paid almost $843 million into the Social Security and Medicaid programs for that year.
Yeah, I have to take a break. We'll do that now, come back, and I want to get Al back into the conversation. But let's take that break now and continue the conversation about immigrants and refugees in our community and what they contribute. And what we're learning so far is they contribute a lot, certainly when it comes to the questions of dollars and cents. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Anna Crosland of the International Institute, Betsy Cohen of the St. Louis Mosaic Project, and Al Alderi. He is a Syrian refugee and local entrepreneur. You know, we talk about entrepreneurs and we talk about the immigrant refugee population, but the thing that seems to really be bothering people in this country the most, and I'll start, Betsy, with you, is undocumented immigrants and undocumented immigrants. It really gets people riled up, and as I say, on the political front, it's become a major campaign issue. How much is this hurting any efforts we have locally or elsewhere to welcome immigrants?
For the state of Missouri and for our region, it's actually a very small number, under 1%. The estimates are that there are 60,000 in the state of Missouri that are undocumented, and they are a quiet underlying part of portions of our workforce. You know, there are people that are really underlying some of the agricultural, the hospitality, restaurant industries, quietly there working, paying taxes often, potentially not even into their own accounts. And so I think it's extremely important that we just understand that they are quietly doing those jobs until our immigration systems catch up with figuring out how to get square with these people so that they can continue the work in general that we need them to do. Otherwise, our various fields would go unpicked and workers would not happen. So, but it's a very, very small number, and it really is not the focus of what we do in the St. Louis Mosaic Project, as we are really focusing on those that are here legally.
Al, let me turn to you. Have you experienced any animosity from people who are suspicious, if you will, of people who come from other countries, particularly these days? Again, you're from Syria, and
right,
there are a lot of people who don't want any part of Syrians in this country.
That's true. I did, but it's minimum. It's not a lot. And I always consider, like, there is always part of people that don't like you to be here. They have wrong ideas about my culture and maybe my religions as well. And I attempt to prove them wrong by working hard and provide this community as much as I can.
How many employees do you have?
I started the bakery with the family members only. Next year we're gonna have four employees required for the job. That's our plan.
And if I may ask, what kind of dollar business do you do?
We do, like, on monthly basis around maybe $50,000. I got as Ms. Anna said, it's a production facility. We do provide the main local grocery stores like Dierbergs and Schnucks, and we started with Whole Foods recently, and our target is to go nationwide in 2017.
And Rosalind, is this a typical story?
Yeah, they start small, but they always have the long term in mind. I'm reminded as he's talking about Barracks, which is a Bosnian manufacturer now. He started as a coffee shop over near the Target in Hampton Village. And has grown to and now has a coffee, Bosnian coffee, that he distributes in 17 or 18 states around the nation. So, you know, there are networks, and through the networks and through the growth of immigrants around the country, in fact, there become these pockets where you can where you have opportunity then to be able to produce and earn money that comes back to St. Louis.
Betsy, how well are you doing in reaching your 2020 target with regard to immigrant entrepreneurship?
We are growing. We are growing with our goals for growth. The most recent five-year trends show that through 2014, the St. Louis region is growing over that five-year period at about 11%, which means we are the 10th fastest growing of the major metropolitan, and our goal is to be number one. So we are not growing as fast as others yet, but I think we are on trend for that. We really measure the touch points we have with both immigrant entrepreneurs, the international students, and other foreign-born professionals that we're helping make these connections so that we can keep growing.
Yeah. Are there any? Go ahead.
And let me also say that the growth in refugee population also contributes to those numbers. And in this last year, particularly with the growth in the Syrian refugee population, resettlement here in St. Louis, that has helped to add to those numbers.
How many Syrians do we have? Do you?
Well, in total, the institute has been resettling more refugees this year anyway because of the closing last September of the Catholic Charities Refugee Project. And in total, then, we're going to resettle probably about 1,000 refugees here in St. Louis this year. And our projection was that about 300 of those would be Syrians. Mm-hmm. Now, we have, I think, slightly more than 200 Syrians that have already arrived here in St. Louis. And so, and we've got another 3 months in this fiscal year. So we think we will meet that 300.
And mostly they're really large families with many children. Fathers, mothers, and large families with children. So that is the composition.
Yeah. Al, that must make things a little more comfortable for you to have so many people coming
feeling
in from your country. Yeah. And these people have had a tough time just getting here.
That's true. I've heard a lot of stories. I've seen a lot of people that suffered till they arrived here. I have family members.
Rafties, did you say?
Till they arrived here.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got my brother is waiting for to get approved from the his case asylum in Malaysia. The same thing. They have a really tough time to reach these borders, and there's a lot of inspections on their files.
It's not easy, Anna.
No, it's not. And what's interesting also, you want to talk about myths. Of the population that's arrived in the United States already, the Syrians, and our numbers here in St. Louis are running a par for the course, too, 78% of them are women and children. So it's families is what it is. It's not the earlier fears that it might be, you know, a whole population of single men. You know, that was the rumor and everything else. No, it's families in need.
Yeah. We've all seen the pictures, and they're just heartbreaking to see some of what's happened. I want to take a couple of calls here. People want to get into the conversation, but are there other numbers that you wanted to give us with regard to this this survey and poll?
Yeah, I would say that the fact that the data shows that the education levels for the immigrants skew both higher than our native-born as well as lower, those that don't have high school. So we know that some of the immigrants are in fields that have less need for education, such as some of the hospitality industry. But really, we know that 20% of the doctors here are foreign-born, 16% of the professors. So many of the skilled leaders in our community, a very high percentage are foreign-born, way beyond the percent of the population. And that's just part of our talent pool. We are very rich in universities, and that adds to the economic and the intellectual abilities of the St. Louis region and for the state of Missouri.
I see here that they are very heavily into the STEM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and math, which is a really deficiency otherwise in terms of the Native American population.
Yeah. Well, and we know from the workforce assessment here that we have often 22 openings to each one person applying in the STEM fields. And so between people who are coming with STEM and the international students, we are going to increasingly be spending our focus in the next year on matching up STEM international students with the corporations in town that need STEM talent, and then working the visa system to get them here because they have a longer time, 3 years, where they can be in their training period and have several opportunities to apply for that very important H-1B visa.
And I also noticed with interest that refugees and immigrants who can vote in a much higher percentage than the Native Americans do.
Well, it's interesting. They vote in national elections and sometimes state elections at higher percentages. But in local elections, we still have a ways to go. And that's typical of almost any voter in this country as well, that the issues are sometimes more complicated, the referendums, et cetera. But boy, they get out there and they vote in the national elections.
Al, are you a citizen?
Not yet.
Are you studying to become one?
I think next year.
All right. Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
That too, I'm sure, is not easy. That's a tedious process for some. Let's take a couple of telephone calls here. We'll start with Christine, who's calling from St. Louis. Christine, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
yeah,
go ahead.
I just wanted to say my personal experience. I'm married to an immigrant. He's from Nepal. He's got a green card. And a lot of what I hear right now with negative rhetoric is that people just keep repeating negative examples or negative individual stories as part of the argument against immigration in the U.S. And I really think it's important for kind of like what's happening on your show today to start changing the narrative and to make a stronger case for giving examples of positive contributions and positive case stories of what immigrants do contribute to our economy and to our culture in general.
Thank you, Christine. That's certainly part of the reason we're all here today and part of the reason for the survey that we've been talking about. Any other comment to Christine's?
No, at the St. Louis Mosaic Project website, we have a whole group of stories highlighting successful immigrants in the region, and Al is one of them. But we every week are posting new stories to, again, change that narrative and share the true stories of people contributing.
We'll put a link to that website on ours and also for the International Institute.
Do
you have a website, Al?
I do.
We'll put a link to your website.
All right, thank you.
so folks can become familiar with all of your organizations. Anna?
And what I was going to say is that one of the things that studies have found, is that people who know people who are different from them are more likely to be more tolerant. And here in St. Louis, since the foreign-born population is only 4.5%, lots of people don't have an opportunity to meet and get to know other foreign-born. So, of course, coming up at the end of the month is Festival of Nations, August 27th and 28th in Tower Grove Park. And I invite the St. Louis community to come out and not just eat their way around the world.
Which you can do very nicely.
Which you can do very easily. Yeah. But also to meet some of the tremendous number of foreign-born who come to that festival because they think of that as a way to be able to present their cultures and traditions to the wider community.
Yeah, a lot of folks live in bubbles, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's a great event every year. Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. We'll bring in Fran calling from St. Louis. Fran, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you so very much. I'm married to an illegal person, and we're doing the process. And I just want to say that when he first worked here for 7 months, he was paying $800 in taxes. He had no deductions and never claimed them back. So that's money over $5,600 to the government free as charged. And then also, when you're going through the process, if there isn't indeed 11 million undocumented and only half apply, you're looking at money. If you start crunching on the calculator, because I work in accounting, $400 for the Visa app. I have friends who have been turned down three times. That's three times $400. Then if you have to apply for a waiver, that's $685. If you get turned down, multiply that several times. And then then there's other fees, depending upon which process you have to follow, because believe me, there's so many. And you start running out of zeros on the calculator. So when they say immigrants are costing, and not even getting into the fact that they do jobs that Americans just do not want to do, you know, it's they help build this nation, and I wish people would open their minds and stop just regurgitating some rhetoric.
Fran, thank you so much for the call. She's just bearing out what you've discovered in the survey that we've been talking about. I'm going to take one more call, then we're going to have to wrap this up, and we'll, I think, end it in a way that you would be appreciative of, and that's Scott calling from Chesterfield. Go ahead, Scott.
Scott? Yeah, according to the Pew Hispanic Center, net immigration from Mexico is now zero. According to the Congressional Budget Office, immigration reform would cut the deficit. And according to Oxford University, immigrants over there reduce the government debt. Another way to put that is we need immigrants to pay for our Social Security and Medicare.
All right, Scott, thank you for the call. Again, he is saying what the survey has borne out, Betsy.
Yes, the survey has shown that, again, as people get the various documentation and can use their skills in better ways and can contribute fully into the tax programs, it does be a net positive for our economy as well as for the social and cultural community in which we live.
We're going to have to wrap this up. Anna, do you want to put a bottom line on it?
Well, the bottom line is that I want people not to just assume that what their favorite pundit says is reality. I want them to go out and read studies like this and then be able to make educated assessments themselves, because it's in their best interest to really understand what immigration is all about, and it's not about what they're hearing.
And Al, what do you want people to understand about people like yourself?
I just want to say, like, starting business, especially small business in the state or any country, is the main engine for the economy. And as I speak of starting point, where the International Institute, if you go there, you'll find anything or any help you would ask or you would need. The employees there, they made it their passion to help others. And to be honest, we work hard, and at the end of the day, Mose saw that, and they gave me an award for that, and that's very appreciative. Starting business is something not hard. I encourage all the guys and the people, foreign or not foreign, to start small business. It's very easy.
Well, I know that Betsy loves to hear that. Nana does, too. I want to thank you all. Aldery, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And best of luck with you and your business, your flourishing business.
Thank you, sir.
Anna Crosland, International Institute, thank you. And Betsy Cohen of the Mosaic Project, thank you. Great to see you all again. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.